BreweryDB and Good Beer Matters have partnered to share the education and stories of craft and culture found in every glass. BreweryDB is the largest curated source of brewery knowledge and serves to connect craft beer lovers like yourself to your next brewery experience. Expand your knowledge of brews and create personalized brewery routes in your own neighborhood and nationwide. Visit BreweryDB.com today and be the first to explore this all-new experience. My name is Jeremy, and this is Good Beer Matters.
In essence, we all want the same things, and that's just basically to be loved and to love somebody and to be happy.
It's just about how you incorporate craft beer into the lifestyle that you love.
I've expanded my family by choice vastly by all my travels.
Living a full life, living a bold life, so that's kind of where that stout comes from.
Somewhere along the highway of mundane life is an exit toward a meaningful experience. Luckily, there are many off-ramps because sometimes we catch the exit, but sometimes we miss it. However, the goal here at Good Beer Matters is to grab a beer and discover these experiences. In our third edition of Beyond the Beer Stories, we take one of these exits and connect with a couple of guides. My next guests are living the stout life of beer and travel and are here to share some knowledge and a pint. I've studied, traveled, and tasted my way through some of the best beer the world has to offer. Over the past few years, I've also spoken to beer industry leaders from around the globe, and one thing is certain, the art, the science, and the culture of beer has more of a profound effect on us than we realize. There's a story of craft and culture found in every glass, and I intend to get to the bottom of it. These are the stories of us, of great food and the beer that brings it all together. I hope you enjoy episode 110 of Good Beer Matters with Ken and April Pishna of Living a Stout Life. Well, today I finally get to reunite with some new friends in the beer world that I met in Austin at the Beer Now conference. And we're both kind of media people and storytellers, and but their take on things is a little bit unique. But this is the first time we've been able to chat in not quite a year, but that's one of the beautiful things about beer is you meet friends all over the world, whether you've met them or not, but you kind of like our kindred spirits to begin with. But Ken and April, thank you so much for being on the Good Beer Matters podcast.
We're stoked.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Jeremy. It's awesome.
My pleasure. Yeah, that's one of my favorite words coming from Southern California, so I am also stoked. But to kick things off, okay, Ken and April, please formally introduce yourselves, what you guys do, and talk to us about the time you've spent in the beer world.
Formally? We don't know how to do anything formally, but we'll give it our best shot.
Okay, how about semi-formal?
I can handle that part. I think we can do that. We're Ken and April Pishna. Full-time RV travelers and long-time beer lovers that started a business called Living a Stout Life, which is a website centered around craft beer travel and adventure. And that led us to our craft beer travel and adventure podcast, which led us to Jeremy and Good Beer Matters.
It's all about like the craft beer lifestyle. So we're not just sitting around drinking beer 24/7. It's just about how you incorporate craft beer into the lifestyle that you love.
Absolutely. So I've got a couple of questions from there right out of the gate. First of all, so you guys have the website Living a Stout Life. I'll put all the links in the show notes, everything. But tell me more. Unpack that for me. Once upon a time, I was a English, I don't want to say major. I studied literature and all that stuff. Like, so unpack that. What does the stout life mean to you guys?
It's kind of funny that you mentioned you're an English major, although that doesn't really mean that you're a teacher, but that's kind of where that starts off. But basically, in our previous life, that was also a wonderful life. Like, we had these, you know, big careers, and I was actually a teacher. But when we were deciding, like, what we wanted to do and, you know, the whole, like, I don't know, air quotes, next chapter of our lives, we knew it wanted to be something around beer, but we were trying to figure out what it was. And I came home from work one day, like, what, some years ago, and Ken was like, how about this business called Living a Stout Life? And I'm like, stout? I don't want it to be all about beer. Like, that just like dials us into only beer. And he's like, no, no. Stout has like that double-edged meaning, like full-bodied, just bold. And that's kind of where that stout life comes from. It doesn't have to be about drinking only stout beers, but it's just this living a full life, living a bold life, and living out a life that you really want to live. So that's kind of where that stout comes from. Do you have anything more to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole idea right there. In a nutshell, I'd say it's just living life with intention instead of letting life dictate to you. And that's not always an easy thing to do, you know. I mean, to make those choices to direct your life where you want it to go, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, because we all get caught up in the grind of the everyday stuff we have to deal with, the minutia. And to make those choices is sometimes hard. But, you know, that is a stout life. It is a meaningful life, you know. It's an intentional life.
And that's not to say that, you know, everything is, you know, rainbows and unicorns and perfect life, because it doesn't matter what you do, whether you're living an alternative lifestyle, I guess you could call that like us on the road, or whether you're at a stationary home, it still happens. There's still things that you have to deal with. So it just means that you're trying to do your best at living the life that you want, because you only got one of them.
Yeah. Well, and first of all, I got to say, I am a huge fan of beer references with double meaning. So kudos to you guys, on the stout life. But that, you know, I think that's where I really got kind of enamored with what you guys are doing, because there's a certain amount of intention that I'm trying to preach, of course, with understanding beer. And of course, anyone who's listening to this podcast, and, you know, you guys, I mean, you know me from the beer world, but there's another element to me that is outside of beer, but all of my focus kind of goes towards the same trajectory with everything that I do. And it all kind of comes down to what you just said, April, is just having that intentional life. Yes, adulting is hard. Yes, being a parent or not is hard either way. It's just a different kind of hard. But I think of it, you know, let's use the adventure. Let's just keep going with it, kind of adventure theme. You know, like sailing a boat, I always use that as a nice kind of metaphor for life. I mean, when you sail a boat, if you're trying to take a heading, you know, you can't just set that heading and call it good. I mean, you've got wind, you've got waves, you've got chop, that's going to move you from left to right. So you're constantly making adjustments so that you can head where you're going. And I think with what you guys are doing, with what I'm doing, is trying to continually choose to adjust to live that intentional life. But it takes work.
Oh yeah, most definitely it takes work. It takes a lot of work, you know, and I think sometimes it may take even more work than, you know, than the opposite of just letting life dictate to you where you're going to go.
But ultimately, it's, you know, you could take the go where the wind blows and the fatalism approach and just say, well, you know, whatever happens, happens. Or you could, you know, be intentional and say, no, I'm going to go where I need to go and kind of resist that. Or you can find a combination, whatever works for you. I just love that. It's the intention of understanding beer, understanding pairings, understanding what you're tasting and being more intentional about that choice. But you could take that same argument, that same conversation, and apply that to how you live and what you live for. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think very much so. I think it's very similar. And I mean, those are all things that I enjoy myself too, that you're talking about, and why I listen to your podcast quite frequently. So
awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
I was just thinking, I don't know if this is going to be the right way to say it, but I was just thinking about things as you guys were talking, is like, well, you could very easily just say, you know, trying to find the right beer, or the great beer to match with this, or the one that has this kind of flavor is just too difficult. I'm just going to go drink a PBR. Blech. But like, it's easy to kind of go fall back into like whatever's easiest kind of thing. But it's easy to do that in life too. So, I mean, you know, you probably know this, but a business of beer is not this rich. You're not going to make a whole heck of a lot of money off of it.
What?
So there's just this whole, a lot of little things that come up here now about, okay, oh my gosh, how are we going to make the money for this month? Or what are we going to do for this income for this month? Sometimes in my brain automatically goes back to, maybe I should go back and find a full-time job teaching. because that's easy and that's comfort. And do I want to do that? Like, not really, no. And so maybe some of the people who are like, well, I don't want to find the right beer right now. Maybe I should go back to that PBR. Don't ever go back to that PBR.
Oh my gosh. And I'm so glad you said that. This is one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you guys too, is I have met, and I'm sure you guys have met, but through the different jobs that I've had and everything else, you meet those people who want those safe choices. Like, I don't want to try that beer because I've never had it. I don't know if I'll like it. I don't want to waste my money, so I'm going to go with a safe beer. And a true story. I was working in what was effectively a bottle shop in a grocery store type of situation, but I had someone come in. I was actually selling beer and wine, and was talking to them about what they like, what they're going to have for dinner. It's like, ooh, you need to try this bottle of wine. It's like, nah, I'm just going to go for this one. This one is safe. And it just stopped me in my tracks. And I made this comment at the Beer Now conference that beer is one of those things that no one needs, but everyone wants. Same thing with wine in this example, right? But but this is something that we use to kind of create greater joy, a better experience in life, and they're going for the safe choices. I just can't understand that.
Did you feel yourself wanting to yell at her? Like, is that how you live your life?
Well, that's where, you know, we could talk about like the beer snobs and the wine snobs, but that is not what this is about. This is about there are those people who want that security, whatever security means to them. There are those people that want those safe choices, I've had people say, I just like to stay in my lane. That's not what life is about. April, you said this perfectly. We've got one life, and how are you going to live it? How are you going to choose to live your life? Through the safe route, through the stay in your own lane, or to figure out what makes you tick and go for that.
Exactly. And like, I'm to kind of touch on your idea about that, like the safe one, like I'm that guy that I sit down in the brewery, and you can ask April this, like I almost never have the same beer twice. Even at breweries we go back to, you know, a couple of times, it's like I'll sit there for 3 hours and I will rarely have the same beer over and over again. It's usually because and that's not a beer snob thing or whatever. It's just I want to try all the different things. I want to see if there's something excites me about this one, even though normally that beer over there is not a style that I prefer most of the time. I'll still usually at least get a flight or something and try that because I want to try it and see if there's something in that one that sparks my interest.
Yeah. And I feel the same way. I love to try new beers, new styles. I like to taste new beers from new breweries to see, okay, is this brewery any good? Is this brewer any good? Not to be a jerk about it, but just kind of like, okay, I want to evaluate and figure out, do I want to have another one of these beers? Do I want to come back to this brewery? But there are times, you know, like over the last week, I went through a 6-pack of Deschutes Mirror Pond because that's like revisiting an old friend. It's like, you know, we became friends a long time ago. I just wanted to come by and say, hey, how's it going? How you been? I miss you. Now we're done. I'll see you later type of thing. That to me, that's revisiting some of those faves.
I suppose on that note, I should like kind of do a disclaimer for those that kind of do love PBR, because there are times when like that's just what you want, is you want something for that moment that's just comfortable and you don't have to think about it. So I get that. As long as you're not constantly just staying there.
Yeah. It's like this is my beer. This is the only beer I drink, and I will not even try another one. Yeah, I don't know. So kind of on the same vein, I'm so glad we kind of fleshed this out of what it means to live the stout life and what it means to choose your life and choose your adventure. I want to ask you guys to, let's play a little game. I want to ask you to tell me about your experiences, a story, or your thoughts on pairing beer and adventure. What does that mean to you guys? Because we can talk about pairing beer and food. How do you pair beer and adventure?
Human beings have used the power of storytelling for millennia. We use stories to educate, motivate, and inspire others to lead better lives. If you're a business in the beer industry, we can use the power of story to better serve your customers. At Mountain Sea Media, I help you tell your story and keep your brand on top of mind. Mountain Sea Media is your resource for engaging, multimedia beer content. Contact me at jeremy@mountainseamedia.com to discuss your next project. After all, it's your story. I'll help you tell it.
I mean, it's kind of funny that you asked that because we actually have a couple of articles on our website about that. And one of them that I can recall right off the top of my head is like how to pair. It was like a bike and beer pairing 101. Like, what beer do you drink when you're on a mountain biking adventure? And probably kind of what beer you shouldn't drink when you're out on a mountain biking adventure.
Perfect.
I don't know. How do you want to go into that?
I mean, pairing with adventure and pairing with travel, that's a different kind of thing than pairing with food for me. So like I think of it like April said, the article about pairing beer with mountain biking is a little bit tongue in cheek too, because it's like you know you like what you like when you like it. But I would pair, if you're going to drink before you ride, drink something low ABV and light and body, so you're not hacking it up, you know, halfway through your ride. But afterwards, for me, I like that adventurous. I like coming off there. I'm feeling that adrenaline of a good ride, and I want something like a nice West Coast IPA that has that same little bit of boldness but isn't too heavy. It just pairs well for the adventure for me.
Yeah, and on that note of like not really so you can pair beer with like flavors and things like that, but also when you're talking about pairing beer and adventure, when Ken was just talking about the flavors, which is great, or the styles, which is great, what came to mind was like when you're on a mountain biking adventure and you're at the trailhead and you're done and you feel accomplished, you want to crack open like a really good beer, but then also there are other people around, and that pairing beer and adventure is when you're like, I want to share this beer with somebody else here who has just created the same accomplishment kind of thing. Oh, so yeah. That's what's really cool is when you bring, because generally after a bike ride, we try to match our bike rides or whatever adventure we're having close to a brewery, because yeah. We'll go to a bike ride or do whatever we're doing, snowboarding or whatever, and we find a brewery right after that.
That's because you guys are professionals. You know what you're doing.
Yeah. But there are those times when you want to celebrate or just sit there and relax and enjoy the moment because you're out in nature with a beer in hand. So it's funny how like it took us years to learn this, to bring beer with us and to share it with other people who are experiencing that same thing. So that's one way I think of like pairing beer and adventure, is like sharing the same adventure with other people.
You know, that kind of reminded me, I can't imagine that a barrel-aged quad and your cage in your frame is the go-to choice for a beer on a bike ride. But
no.
But you made me, you kind of reminded me, a million years ago, right like the week before my wife and I moved from California to Oregon, forever ago, one of my closest buddies in my entire life, he and I got on our bikes and we rode from Huntington Beach all the way down to San Diego. It was like 120 mile ride in total. And went, by the time we got to Del Mar in North County, San Diego, we stopped and we had a sandwich. I think we split a beer. I honestly don't remember what the beer was. It could have been a Heineken. I think it might've been a beer, a Moretti or something like that. Just, you know, kind of international lager type of thing. And to this day, I just remember that beer tasting amazing. So there's something about the effort, the sweat, the exhaustion, the muscle fatigue, the buildup of lactic acid, the whatever it is. But it, as soon as that beer hits your lips, it's just heaven on earth. Have you guys experienced that same thing?
Oh, we have a couple stories. Go ahead, Ken.
Absolutely.
Especially our one.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you told that story and you said it was probably like a Heineken or whatever, I was like, oh my gosh.
No, Kenny and I looked at each other. We looked at each other. We're like, oh yeah.
So early on in our mountain biking days, one of our first trips outside of Colorado to go mountain biking was to a place called Slick Rock in Moab, Utah. And of course, being the smart people that we are, we went to Moab to go mountain biking. Moab's pretty much a desert area. And we went to Moab to go mountain biking in
June.
Middle of June.
At noon.
When so it's far, like so 105 so degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we hit the heat. We drove from Denver to Moab that morning and got there like early afternoon. So yeah, we're immediately going to go for a bike ride.
Didn't bring beer with us.
We each brought a bottle of water. Blew through that water pretty quick in our like about 2 to 3 hours of riding in the 105 degree heat. And then we went after riding, we went to our hostel where we were staying. And then April's like, how do we not have beer?
I know.
How do we
seriously not have beer? Because we weren't going to go to the brewery yet. And we were like trying to unpack stuff, but it was just so like hot and we didn't really have like ice water or anything. And I'm just like, where is the beer? How come nobody's even out with beer? And like, right when I was thinking that, these like guys on motorcycles, they're pulling in, they're loud, like motorcycles and stuff. And I'm just watching them across the road and I watch them pull out a cooler. And then they pull out some beer. I have no idea what beer it was. But all I'm thinking is, like, I smack Kenny on the shoulder. I'm like, give me some money. Give me some money. So he gives me, like, a $5 bill. And I'm like, perfect. And he's like, well, don't spend the whole $5 on just one thing of beer. I'm like, whatever. I'm not even listening to him. So I go over to these guys. I don't know them at all. And I'm like, is that a cold beer right there? I'll give you $5 for that. Again, I had no idea what beer it was. And he's like, oh, here, you can just have one. And it was, like, a tall boy of Miller High Life. And wow. It was the best beer ever. It tasted so good. Like I almost guzzled the thing before I remembered that. Oh yeah, Kenny wants a drink too.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just imagine you in your cycling spandex walking over saying, hey guys, I'm a biker too. Can I share a beer?
Yeah. That's funny. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. But then we proceeded to chat with them for a couple hours sharing, you know, probably another Miller High Life. But
that's awesome.
That's pairing. That's exactly it. That was a good one that you brought up because that's pairing beer and adventure.
Well, and those type of beers in those circumstances, to me, I just call those grown up Gatorade. It works so well. But along that same vein, and Ken, I think you brought this up too. I wanted to ask you about your experience with beer and adventure, but tell me about beer and travel. I know you guys travel quite a bit, but tell me about that pairing intersection of beer and travel.
Wait, can I first say something? Is anybody out there on your listeners like an app developer that wants to work with us and we can all work together to create this best app that we want to create that's just driving us crazy because it's super hard to try and pair the breweries with all the things we want to do because we're looking at 15 different apps?
Well, anyhow, that's funny you say that. This is an absolutely full-on shameful plug, but my partner, Brewlogic and Brewery DB, are in the midst of launching and have launched an interface so people like you and me who are looking for this type of experience can find it.
Gonna have to check that
truth,
one out
truth.
For sure to see if it can tick off all the boxes.
Truth, yes. And I do receive money from them. They are a partner with me, but they did not pay me to say that in the middle of this podcast, just for clarity. but April, your wish is granted. Now talk to me about beer and travel.
So yeah, I mean, obviously for us when we were going to craft breweries and stuff well before we ever hit the road in our RV. So it was just a natural thing for us to want to seek out breweries wherever we went. And so, yeah, everywhere we go as we travel along, it's funny because, you know, you can kind of follow our path by following where the breweries are. And like most of our friends that we've made on the road and a lot of our followers and stuff who like email us all the time or text or whatever, they're like, hey, have you been to this brewery? And like more than half the time we're like, yep, been there, that one's awesome, you should, you know, and asking advice about it. But it is a challenge at times though, because we are, you know, it's not just the breweries, because we're trying to pair up, you know, maybe it's mountain biking trails with somewhere that we can stay, because we don't always stay at an RV park or something. We like to stay off grid a little bit. And we're also looking for that to be somewhere near breweries. And luckily these days we have over 9,000 breweries in the US. So there's one just about around every corner, which is helpful. But
right.
But yeah, I mean,
and most of them have a parking lot, which is helpful.
Yes. Yeah. And quite a few of them offer those parking lots up for an overnight stay, which helps a lot. Cause you know, you do, obviously as our home is on wheels and we have drive it around. So that is, you know, a bit of a challenge in and of itself, because we have to be cautious about that. We can't just go drink as much as we want, whenever we want, wherever we want, because we, if we've got to be moving on, or even if we just have to get down the road to where we're going to be staying for that night, you know. So it's very helpful when you find a cool brewery. There's so many great farm breweries too that will allow you to stay on their property overnight.
I can't let this go away, because we're also like members. Well, you have to, like, the breweries that let you stay overnight, or the wineries that let you stay overnight, the farms are like, there's actually a program for that called Harvest Hosts.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, like, and we help promote them a lot. So it's just a great program. So I couldn't let that go, because, you know.
Yeah, we are affiliate partners with them, just to be transparent about it. But that's because the only reason we are is because we love the service they offer, and it's been helpful for us doing what we do.
So
well, I'm glad you brought that up, because by the time this episode airs, the previous episode of Good Beer Matters will have been with the CEO of Harvest Host, Joel.
Oh, you got Joel.
Oh, awesome. Joel is a fantastic person.
Well, and this is just a really cool thing that people need to be aware of. But
sorry, Jimmy.
No, I was going to say go Harvest Host, but back to you, April.
Well, I was just gonna say that's another way that we kind of pair the travel and the adventure with the beer is when we travel, the way we do it generally is we know the area, map out our route based off of, all right, what breweries do we know of that we want to visit are along the way, and then we'd probably seek out that brewery. But more than likely, it's more like, what breweries are out in the middle of nowhere, or in like this small little town, or like a neighborhood thing, or which one has like the coolest story? So we do a decent amount of research looking that up. And then that might kind of sort of dictate our route as to which way we're going to go to head towards that region. So
you are much more clear and succinct in your details today than I am at all. You're like killing it today.
Usually we switch roles like that. He's better and I'm just long.
I was gonna say, you haven't been drinking yet, have you?
I have not.
Just some coffee. It's still a bit early as we record this.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Coffee starts and then beer finishes. Through all your travels, and April, keep on going with that riff, because I'm curious to see. You guys have traveled the U.S. much more extensively than I have. What have you noticed about the identity, the personality of the region, and how it pertains to the breweries there? I mean, have you noticed a pattern, a theme, or anything like that?
I would say I've seen some things. You'll notice, like, certain areas will, I think the styles of beer are a little different in certain areas depending on the population there and how far along they are in the craft beer scene. And there's also climate issues in certain places that change the way beer is, like in the South, especially, you know, from early spring into mid to late fall, it stays pretty warm across big stretches of the South, and it's very humid, so you're not getting a lot of adventurous takes on like dark beer and barrel aged beer as much as you are in some of the more metro locations and things. I think part of that is just climate driven and what people are going to drink when it's hot outside and they're sweating, because you walk out the door in Alabama in mid-July and you're drenched in 5 seconds because you're sweating instantly. Yeah. Because it's so humid. And then there's other parts of the country where that it's the opposite, but there's also the clientele in those areas. You know, you go up to Montana and you get to, you know, eastern Montana, the more rural parts of Montana, and you're going to have more lagers and more ambers and more, you know, wheat beers and things like that aren't as heavy drinking and aren't as high in ABV. And you also have a lot of people in those areas that may enjoy those beers, but they just haven't been exposed to that adventurous side of craft beer.
Well, yeah, sometimes. It's like you said, like the more mature markets that have like all the breweries, like Oregon, for example, or California or Colorado, or even like Maine, or all the ones that have these, for the most part, you can find almost any style of beer in those regions at any time of year. because they have like a plethora of all the different breweries with all the styles. But yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, as you guys know, and many people know that I've lived in Oregon for almost 20 years. And then I lived in Arizona for a couple years, and there was a difference in the beers that were coming out or the beers that proliferated. Yes, there were those people that were pushing the boundaries and doing some really interesting things, but there wasn't a ton of those breweries doing the interesting things like they are in Oregon because of that continued exposure to really good craft beer in Oregon and the differences therein. And that being said, now I'm transitioning back to the Northwest. I'm currently, as of this recording, staying in Bend. And I think you guys even made some comment on this post I put on Instagram, but I was at Crux Fermentation Project in Bend back in March, and they actually brewed a Lichtenhainer, which is a German smoky sour. And that is a historical style in the BJCP catalog. It's a beer that you just can't find those. I mean, it's really hard to find that. And I found it at this brewery. They brewed it for a smoke beer festival, and it was amazing. It was, I don't know why we don't have more of these. It was incredible. The smoke was subtle, but it was just like amazing. But I found that in Bend just because Bend is looking for the next great beer. People want to be adventurous. They don't want that safe beer. They want the adventure. They want the something that's going to kind of redefine their day or their life or whatever it is. And to me, that's just fun.
That is.
Yeah. And I think that's part of that culture of that area, right? I mean, everybody, like Bend is a big outdoor area. You know, people go out to play on the bikes, on the boats, skiing, snowboarding,
kayaking, all in the same day.
Yes, everything in the same day. You've got the ski hill right there. You've got the river right there. You got bike trails everywhere. And the climate is pretty temperate there, honestly, most of the time. But yeah, it's the beer scene there, like, just blew us away when we were there. And I just listened to your podcast with Paul Arney from Ill Apothecary. And like, he's a perfect example of what you can do in an area like that, that you probably can't do anywhere else. You know, with his, you know, bringing so much in from the outside into his beer.
Yeah.
And that's just a fun, crazy, cool thing to do.
And there are a number of breweries that are doing spontaneous fermentation, but no brewery can do it the same way. If it's spontaneous fermentation, then, I mean, there's no way that you could reproduce something from Ale Apothecary, from Jester King, wherever it is. But the way that he does it, his approach to it was just beyond fascinating, which is why I told the story. But yeah, those stories. Go ahead, April.
I was gonna say, it's funny though, because I mean earlier I was saying how we like to find like the smaller breweries or the small town breweries, but then ironically, like, yeah, we do like to find those because they're in the middle of nowhere and they're different and they have like kind of these cool stories sometimes. But then when you do that, you're almost, because you're not in those more mature beer markets, you're almost missing out on those creative and unique beer styles, because the neighborhood, the town doesn't want those, and they're not going to be able to sell those. So you're going to kind of miss out on some of those unique and creative beers if you're not hitting up the bigger cities or the bigger, like, populated areas with breweries. So there is that kind of give and take too. It's like, if you're just constantly hitting these little small town breweries, neighborhood, like local, almost like local bars, you're just going to constantly be hitting up like the Pilsners and the lagers, and you're going to miss out on those wild and spontaneous fermented beers.
And to me, that's where staying in your lane and always going for the safe choice. Hey, great. If that makes you happy, then be happy, but just understand once again, April, like you said, you've got one life. Why not step out and experience what life has to offer? And so given that, one of my next questions is, we've talked about pairing beer with adventure, pairing beer with travel. Why does, in your guys' experience, why does beer taste better when you're traveling, when you're listening to music, when you're on an adventure, on a bike ride, at a sports event or something like that? What is it about that event, whatever that event is, that makes beer taste better?
We've always said that beer is about more than just beer. So, I mean, I guess you have to have, especially at breweries, like if you're going to a brewery, the overall scheme of thing is you have to have good beer. If you don't have that good beer, it does change a lot of things. But really, though, when you're going, if people, I hate this question, but people ask it to us all the time. And then I find myself asking the same question. And it's frustrating, but people are like, what's your favorite brewery? I'm like, I don't know.
My answer is always yes.
Yes. that's a good answer.
When you have to answer something like that, you're not just thinking of the beer. You're thinking of the experience that you had at that time, at that moment, with the people, with the ambiance, with the conversation, or whatever you just happened to have been doing right before you went to that brewery or that place. So that is in that line of it is like beer is always about more than just the beer.
I would say, I mean, those are all great things. Like we always look for ambiance as a big thing for us at breweries and stuff, but I would say probably 90% of the time, most of the best beer experiences that I've ever had or we've ever had center around the people we've met when we were having that beer. So whether it's the beer tender or somebody we sat down next to a bar that was a stranger and we just said hi and started talking, and it's just off to the races. And yeah, I'd say 90% of the time it's the people that make the beer great, not as much the beer. And I know, you know, that's debatable, and it depends on what you're looking at. Like if you want to assess the beer, you can assess the beer, and that can be the best beer ever, or this place has the more amazing beer than this place over here. But for the best experiences we've had around beer, it's almost always about the people.
What was that? I always come back to this one quote, and I cannot think of the name of the brewery right now in Austin. You'll tell me. it's always comes back to this one quote about how beer can get people to talk across the aisles.
Lazarus
Brewing in Austin, and Christian just said it perfectly from that, like beer gets people to talk across the aisles. It doesn't matter like your political views or anything like that, and yeah, you can get into heated conversations, but again, like that's what makes beer better is generally the people that you're having it with. And sometimes, like you said, you can sit down by yourself really and just enjoy a really good beer. But honestly, are those going to be the moments that you talk about? Are those going to be the moments that you consider when you're thinking back to all the great times you had with beer? Probably not. It's going to be the people that you had.
Yeah. And it's almost like, again, not to get political, but we'll dip our toes in this just a little bit. We need hats that say beer, how to make America really great again, you know, something like that. Right. Something like that. It's funny. So I want to go back just real quick, but then come back to this riff, because I think this is really where the meat and potatoes are. But whenever someone asks me about my favorite beer, my favorite brewery, I found a way to just end the conversation with total finality is when they ask me, what's your favorite beer, whatever, I say, well, you know, what season it? What season are we in? What time of day is it? What am I eating? What am I listening to? Who's there with me? And then I'll tell you. And they usually just go like, oh, okay, never mind.
You're too much of a beer geek for me.
let's be specific. But when it comes to reaching across the aisle, connecting, and frankly, I am 100% with you guys. It is not about the beer. All this work that I do with beer is just a vehicle. It's just a tool. And trying to figure out ways that we can connect people together, especially people that don't look like me, that don't look like you. How do we connect these people, these strangers together through adventure, through travel, through beer, through music, through sports, whatever your tool is? How do we make that connection with people that are not like us?
I mean,
That's a great one, because, yeah, I mean, you need something to bridge the gap usually, but I think beer is a fantastic tool for that, and all these other things, yeah. You know, if you find some little shred of commonality somewhere, it usually opens up a whole new world.
Well, that's why I think, too, like what you were saying earlier, Jeremy, about how you have to kind of step out of your comfort zone about what you would normally drink. So go to a different place, whoever you are, wherever you are. I mean, like, I suppose for me, here's an example, just because I was just thinking about that. Like Holidaily is one of, you know, the country's like most renowned, like gluten-free breweries. And I don't need to be a gluten-free person, but for me to step out of that comfort zone, just to try something different, like let's go to Holidaily and taste the beers, just because it's something that I probably wouldn't drink ever. But then you're going to meet some other different people, or I mean, you're just going to have, and you just have to be willing to say hi to a stranger too. That's another thing we say all the time, is to say hi to a stranger. And so that's another reason why I love going into just different breweries and different places in different towns and sitting at a bar, like at the bar top. And while I love going to breweries with all of our friends, sometimes it's just better to go with just you and me, Kenny, and we both just sit at the bar in the middle of people. And Kenny will start a conversation with whoever's sitting next to him, and I'll start a conversation with whoever's sitting next to me. And for the next 2 hours, Kenny and I don't talk to each other. But we have now just opened up this entirely different world of talking to people we've never met before. It doesn't matter who they are, where they came from. And like, just because we sat at a bar and like started up a conversation, does it always happen that way? No, because not everybody wants to talk all the time, but it's just a great way to open up conversations. I mean, do you really want to talk to the same people who have the same beliefs to you all the time? Like, you're never going to learn anything about the world.
Oh, it's like, I don't want to talk to a version of me. I'm already bored with listening to myself talk. I want to hear someone else talk, you know? But April, you already shared a story that I think is perfect for this about, and I don't know the details. You didn't share the details, but the image in my mind, when you told the story of asking the bikers for a beer, I imagine, you know, here's a woman stepping out of her RV in her cycling, tights and walking over to a group of bikers all in black leather and long beards that maybe they're like braided down to their belly button. And you're like, hey, can I get a beer? And the next thing you know, you guys are hanging out with them for a couple hours. This is the image in my mind, but that story, however the details worked out, is a great example of that.
Well, I'm not going to unveil the details of that story because your version is amazingly Our version would be a little more like Wild Hogs, but
okay, complete with it with the apple tattoo.
Exactly.
Yeah, I could just see April going up to like a group of Hell's Angels saying, "Hey, can I buy a beer? Do you have an IPA?"
No, scratch that. Give me a Saison and just see what the bike.
Yeah. Oh, yes. How about a Belgian Creek? You got one of those?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, yeah, that's in the other cooler.
But that's what you kind of do when you just, like, you're not thinking about, like, the differences. You're just thinking about how thirsty you are, and they have what you need.
Yeah, you need hydration, and it's ice cold, so boom.
Yeah, and so all of this is fun. All of this is adventurous. All this is exciting. But you know, and forgive me, I don't mean to disparage those people who feel safe with structure, safe with stability, safe with staying in their lane. I don't want to be disrespectful to the people that kind of feel more comfortable that way, that are, because I you know, I have those people in my family and my, and to some extent my kids are this way. But it's like, I'm comfortable staying comfortable and that's fine. It's just, you know, whatever that means to step out of your comfort zone, my experience is you're more likely than not going to increase your comfort zone to encompass more experiences. And so that's just my advocacy. But my big question is for you guys is, tell me a story about a time when you guys were trying to find beer, or, and especially travel, when things just went horribly wrong, and what did you guys do about it?
Horribly wrong.
I mean, I would say one of our biggest beer deserts.
Horribly wrong. Not just a beer desert.
Really horribly wrong.
Well, yes, the key word in that whole entire question and diatribe is horribly. So
horribly wrong. Wow, that's a tough one then.
Okay, we'll start with what you're going to say, and then we'll see if I can add on to like.
Well, it started horribly wrong, but it went horribly right.
Okay, what?
Perfect.
So we're literally in a beer desert down in Baja. We were staying with this guy with his makeshift RV park. I use that RV park term loosely, but this is down in Baja, Mexico, and we're staying there for a while. And we're literally about about 1 mile down the road from a little village. And that's the only thing nearby where we could get groceries and things like that. And so we're wanting to get beer. So we ride our bikes into town, into the this little village, and we go to the little convenience stores.
Let me interrupt here, though. We weren't trying to find, like, a specific kind of craft beer. We knew where we were. We're in the right. little village in Baja. Like,
yeah, we weren't expecting.
We just really wanted some beer. So go ahead.
Yeah, we weren't expecting anything stunning. And we're just looking for beer because we're going to be there for a couple weeks. And we go around to a couple of the convenience stores, and we're asking for cerveza. And they're like, nope, no, no cerveza, no cerveza. And we get to this. There were, I think, three little stores, and we get to another one, and we'd been working on our Spanish and trying hard because most of the people in this little village only spoke Spanish and didn't get much by way of English.
By this time, we were getting a little frustrated and kind of saddened because we just really wanted to sit on the beach and drink a beer. Like, and we didn't have any at the time. I don't know why again, but like, it was just kind of like, maybe not horribly wrong, but just a little sad that our little, you know, mini kind of beach day that we were trying to plan wasn't going to go as we had hoped because we're in Baja on the beach and we don't have beer.
You mean you mean all the Corona commercials were lying?
Right?
Pretty much, yes.
Seriously.
Oh, man.
They absolutely were lying.
Who knew?
Three little grocery stores and they don't have beer. Keep going now.
Okay, so in Baja, we found out later that it's very much like a lot of municipalities in the United States where if your business is within X amount of feet of a school, you can't sell alcohol.
Okay.
And pretty much every one of these stores in this little village was within X amount of feet of the school in this village, so they couldn't sell alcohol.
However,
we get to this third convenience store, and we're talking to the lady asking, and she's like, no, no, no cerveza. And then she kind of sees, like, the frustration and the, I guess, disappointment on her faces. And she's like, what was the term again?
She said, casita roja.
She said, casita roja.
Yeah.
Cerveza aquí, casita roja.
Okay.
She was in perfect Spanish. Yeah. Ours was, and granted, all of these conversations were in our very broken Spanish.
Yeah, but the little red house.
Yes, got it.
It took us a minute. And basically, she got across to us that if we went down to this little red house and went to the back door and knocked on the door, we would get beer.
It was literally somebody's home.
Yes, it's literally somebody's home in this village. We come knock on the door, and this woman comes to the door, and we tell her, you know, we're looking for cerveza, and she's like,
uno momento.
And she comes and gets this guy in a wheelchair rolls up, and he's basically asking if we want roja or azul.
Oh.
And it was either we got regular Tecate or Tecate Light.
Oh.
And then he was like, seis or doce. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
So we're buying a 12-pack of Tecate out of the back of this little house in this little village in Baja. And then April proceeded to carry on her handlebars on her bike as we rode a mile back to where we were camped.
Hey, we had Tecate?
Because clearly she's the responsible one.
Absolutely, yes. Well, she had earned it because she speaks much better Spanish than I do. So. Oh,
bueno.
So apparently that is where all the locals go to buy their beer because the grocery stores legally can't sell it. So it wasn't something special, but we happened to find out and they trusted us that we could buy the beer from them. So that was actually really cool.
The details of the story may have been changed a little bit. The house may or may not have actually been red.
Well, we never.
Just to protect the identity of this fine gentleman that sold the spear out of the
house. We never said the town.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true too. They got a lot of Baja to go exploring to find.
Yeah, absolutely. But if in doubt, go knock on the door of the red house.
I don't know if that quite matched your story there, or your question there. But
Well, that's okay. I thought that was a wonderful story, and you know me, I love a good story. But I've got another question for you to ask you another story before. Before we're going to get close on time, so I want to leave a little bit of time to ask my famous or infamous final questions. But last big question for you guys. Excuse me. what inspires you to stay on the road? What inspires you to do what you do? What's your reason for doing all this? You're traveling and talking about beer and trying to connect with people.
We haven't seen everything yet. No, that's not quite right.
We haven't seen everything and we haven't met everyone. And we haven't tried all the beer.
All right.
In those words are very, very big. But in the scheme of things, that's basically kind of it. Like, we know we can't see everything or meet everyone or drink all the beer, and we have no desire to do any of that. But there's just so much in this world that there is to explore. And that's probably one of the reasons why me from the get-go have like had so many like kind of careers, just because there's too many great things to try and experience. So I kind of joke that like I'm an expert at nothing, but you know, pretty good at doing all the little things.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say, you know, even before we hit the road in the RV, whenever we travel, we traveled, you know, to several different places around the world, and it was a very similar situation. I think that really spawned how we travel throughout the U.S. in our RV, is that when we went to these different places, we didn't seek out the tourist spot. We wanted to go where the locals go. And in doing so, we met a lot of the locals. And that has really influenced, I believe, both of our outlooks on the world and other people. Because you understand that although we're all very different around the world, we're all at heart very much the same. Mm-hmm. We all want in essence, we all want the same things. And, you know, that's just basically to be loved and to love somebody and to be happy. And that's, if you want to boil it all down to the very heart, to me, that's what it is.
Well, we kind of maybe sort of aim to inspire others to do the same thing and to like, you know, get yourself comfortable being uncomfortable for more like selfish reasons. For us, it's just like when we do this, we learn a lot. So,
well, and that's funny you say that, because I was just thinking that you guys seem to be more comfortable in your discomfort zone, or just thriving on what's next, and understanding that life is full of challenges, but that's okay. It's going to be challenging whether I sit in front of the TV every single day or I'm out, you know, traveling and exploring. It's going to be a challenge either way. But isn't it better for you to choose your challenge and to understand that we have the, whether it's faith, whether it's intelligence, whether it's just pure grit, we can overcome these challenges, and it will be better when we're done with it. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
So given that, I do have one other little question for you guys before we wind down. Why should more people open up to beer, travel, and adventure? I mean, I just kind of like led into that, but what do you guys think? Why should people get uncomfortable and explore beer, travel, and adventure?
I mean, for me, it has led to some of the greatest friendships I've ever had, and I've expanded my family by choice vastly by all my travels.
I mean, that's a good one. I mean, like, you have to choose your own kind of adventure and what it is, whether it's like, you know, beer and travel and all that. Like, it can be anything else. It doesn't have to be like the beer and the travel, but just choose something that gets you out there a little bit more. Cause you said it earlier too, is like the more you get out there that you're just a tiny little bit uncomfortable, it expands your comfort zone and it expands your knowledge of the world. And this is a little far fetched, but the more knowledge you have of people, maybe we can break down some of these, you know, polarizing barriers that we've set up over the last few years in our country.
Yeah.
And for people who are comfortable staying in your lane, if you step out of your lane, you can always step back.
Ooh, good point.
It's easy.
Good point. And then you'll realize how easy it is to step out of your lane and how safe you are outside of that lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can decide how far you want to step. Yeah.
We hear from people a lot like, oh, I'm so jealous of your lifestyle, or, oh, I couldn't do that, or I can't believe that you're doing this. This is really great. Or like, I'm just going to live vicariously through you because it's just not for me. Well, fine, but find what it is for you. And maybe you don't have to be jealous of us. Just create something that you like. It doesn't have to be this, but just take what we're doing and create it into something that what you need to do for your lifestyle and do that.
Yeah. I just like
Go, don't be Ken and April. Don't be Jeremy. Be whoever you are and make us jealous of you, right?
Yeah.
Like, go do something awesome. So like the Ken and Aprils of the world are like, damn, that's cool. I wish I could do that. You know, yep. I mean, whatever it is, just go do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Wind down questions. I know you guys listen to the podcast, so I'm sure you're prepared for these, but tomorrow, Ken, you get to be the king of the beer world, and April, you get to be the queen of the beer world. What's the first thing you guys would change?
Mine is not superiorly amazing, but I would change, like, I would drastically change the beer laws in this country so it was much easier to know that you could go get a beer. Like, going to Montana, all the breweries that are just breweries have to close at 8 o'clock. That drives me nuts. Huh. And going to another state, it's like you can't have a beer over 7% ABV or, oh my gosh. Or I don't know. That's
I'm going with that. I'm just going to be with you on that one because there's so many different ways. You go to another brewery in another state where you can't even have a dang taste of it. You have to get the whole pour because they don't want to give you anything. Or other places where they can't give you discounts based off of this, but we can give you a discount based off of this or whatever. Like, all these brewery regulations are ridiculous.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. I think that's one thing that you don't really realize unless you're traveling to all these breweries across the country. There are so many ridiculous, antiquated laws that are around alcohol in general, and most of them just need to go away.
I would also add to that that I would also probably banish milkshake IPAs.
That's too far outside of the comfort zone. That's where we draw the line.
there has to be a line somewhere. And yes. That's
yes. Yes. Yeah. They've gone too far. Okay. So do you guys remember that movie Spaceballs?
Oh gosh, yes.
Okay. Oh gosh, yes. Well, you remember that RV was it Lone Star and Barf flew around the universe? Well, that is your RV, and you guys are heading to Mars on a quick trip, and you've got a case of beer and some takeout with you for the ride. What's in the case and what's in the takeout?
Wow, I would probably say for me, probably Squatters Double IPA and sesame chicken.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, like
that. But the sesame chicken has to be from like one of those dollar a scoop places.
The dollar scoop places?
Yeah, yeah, really cheap.
At least around Denver, we have these, like, there's a bunch of little Chinese restaurants around town that it used to be a dollar a scoop.
Inflation has hit.
So it's $1.35 or $1.50 a scoop.
Scandalous. Sounds scandalous.
That's what I would take, probably.
All right. What are yours, April?
I don't have like a specific brand I can't think of, but it has to be like a Saison or a farmhouse ale.
Hey, I'm comfortable with styles. Styles will work.
Okay. Definitely like some of those. Just a basic Saison or a farmhouse ale. And then, I don't know, I'd probably have to say some kind of a Mediterranean, like Caprese or something with all kinds of olives and basil and mozzarella and balsamic. And
where do you get that takeout?
Whatever, that's my takeout. I'm gonna go find it.
Hey, wait a minute, that's the detail you're focusing on? You're in a space RV and you're worried about where she's gonna find her food?
I mean, he's bringing sesame chicken from some cheap ass
I did wonder how Chinese we were gonna make this restaurant. Quick trip to Mars, but
yeah
with the technology we have these days, especially in an RV.
Well, you know, space RV. You got the Schwartz working for you. So how do you guys define good beer?
Good people. No, that's, I mean.
Wow.
I like that answer, actually.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for us, I think we were kind of saying it earlier, is like the beer is quite often as good as the people around you.
However, it does still have to be good beer. You can't just have some crappy ass beer, like not some, like, or just, you can't have some kind of beer that's infected or that is just off or weird and then keep coming back to that place again and again. It's ultimately not going to survive because you do ultimately still have to have a good quality beer.
Agreed. Because as much as I love talking to you guys, our conversation cannot overcome a full-on diacetyl bomb. I'm sorry.
No. No, it cannot. Right. And Yeah, I mean, and even if it's a style I don't like, a well-made beer is a well-made beer, and I'm good with that.
Great. I think, like, good, yeah, I mean, it's just a good beer is just something that if you're ordering a style, I think to me, it should match that style, because in your brain, it's amazing how much your brain can help you define the flavors that you're getting ready to taste in your beer. So if you're ordering, let's just go kind of basic here. If you're just ordering like a West Coast style IPA, it should be and have those defining connotations of a West Coast style IPA, because your brain is expecting that. So if you taste something different, it's going to like mess with you, and it's just not going to be that beer that you were thinking. Granted, there are so many different ways to define styles now that it's really hard to place beers specifically in styles.
Yeah.
But hazy, juicy West Coast IPA doesn't really work in my brain.
Yeah, because you don't.
A hazy, juicy, they don't go together for West Coast stuff.
Right. So I think it's that way because, I don't know, I think that's it. Your brain is going to expect something, and if it doesn't get what it's expecting, it kind of turns it off.
I think I agree with you, but I think that could turn you off, or it could turn you on. I've had some unexpected beers that have been like, holy cow, I was not expecting this. This is amazing.
Yeah. So I was going to say, on the other end of it, once you get past that, it's like this, when you think you're going to take a drink of milk or something and you grab a soda instead, like it messes with you.
Yeah.
But then when you're just like, wait a second, like exactly what you're trying to say, I sound like I'm backpedaling now, but that is that thing too, is if once you get past that surprise of it, it can still be a very good beer, as long as there are no like off things in there or something wasn't brewed improperly.
Well, and a quick good example, and I don't mean this to be a plug, but it was an experience that we both had at that Beer Now conference in Austin. We got to taste a bunch of Czechvar beer, and I love Czech style lagers. They're some of my absolute favorites, but I was expecting it to be oxidized and buttery and all the stuff that we're kind of used to. By the time we get those beers from the Czech Republic into the US, they're usually old and just kind of they're not fresh, they're not good. But somehow the people that brought those over, they managed to get some really fresh examples over, and that was probably the first time that I had one of those clouds parting, angels singing moments with a good Czech beer, with the Czech Vars, because it was just like, oh my God, this is what a Czech beer is supposed to be. And it was, and I was not expecting that, but it was so much better than I thought it would be.
Did you not see the space RV parked out back with the Czech Var logo on it?
You know, I missed
That's
it.
How it, they
it
got
must
it
have been,
fast.
It must have been cloaked.
Hey, but I feel like I monopolized this answer, and I really should not have monopolized this answer, because like you and you, Ken, you're more of a techie guy with the beer. But I also want to say, for those that really don't know a lot about behind the scenes of beer and don't know a lot about brewing and don't know like the whole techniques and things like that, if you're new to all this and you like a beer that you just drank, like it. Like if
absolutely.
It's good because you tasted it, then that is awesome. Remember what you liked and kind of expand upon that. But just like, if you liked it, it's a good beer.
Yeah,
even if it tasted like popcorn and you like that, and you're, that's okay.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, honestly, and I don't want to monopolize this either. We're trying to wind down, but I feel the same way. As much of a beer nerd as I am, the only question anyone needs to answer is, do I like it? Yes or no. And if you do, keep drinking. If you don't, stop.
Yeah,
exactly.
But the next big question that we're kind of leading toward is, from your guys' experiences traveling and tasting beer all around the world and around the country and everything else, why does good beer matter so much?
Because it brings about all the experiences we were just talking about this last hour.
It just, I mean, it's that thing that just opens up the world. It's like, why were like pubs the biggest thing forever in England? You know, like it's that community center. Beer provides community. It fosters community, I think. I think it fosters community. And I think that's what we all need more of, is community in this day and age, especially where we're constantly bickering, we're constantly bombarded with negativity and my side's better than your side, this and that. we need ways to foster community and to be friends. And even if we disagree, we can still talk and be friends at the end of the day, and we can learn from each other and we can just be better. And I think beer is a big propellant to that community that we need.
Excellent. I totally agree. So if anyone wants to learn more about what you guys are doing, I mean, how can they connect with the Stout Life and you guys?
The biggest ways are livingastoutlife.com and follow Craft Beer Travel and Adventure on any podcast platform that you have. And then we're also, of course, Living a Stout Life on all our different social media platforms, such as Facebook and Instagram primarily.
We also have YouTube. We have a decent amount of videos and stuff up there, behind the scenes of breweries, biking videos, just a lot of silly stuff and fun things too. So you can find us on YouTube as well.
Right on. And before we sign off, finally, do you have any calls to action or final words of wisdom for anyone listening?
I mean, when you go out to travel, we want you to say in your head, what does Living a Stout Life think? And then we want you to go, like, basically ask us or search us and find out what we think before you head out. I really sound canned, but it was really just, I sound like I
it's
read
true,
that.
Though. It's true, though. Like,
but that's it.
If you email us, we will respond. If you come to our website and hit us up, we'll respond. Social media, wherever.
Like, we really want to be like the Craft Beer Travelers adventurous lifestyle kind of resource.
All right. Yeah. Well, right on.
And if you want to just come out and drink beer and have fun riding mountain bikes and stuff, we do have an event happening that we're putting on with some friends of ours in Brevard, North Carolina, at the end of October, called Camp Carpe Diem. And you can go to campcarpediem.com to check that out.
Can I do it? Can I do my spiel that I usually do on our podcast, Jeremy?
Absolutely.
Okay, you ready?
Close us out, April.
It's, if you're going to do Camp Carpe Diem, it's CampCarpeDiem.com.
Nice. Now that sounded like you were reading it, or well rehearsed. Anyway,
you've rehearsed that many times.
I'm so glad that I met you guys on that bus on the way to Austin. I'm so glad that we've collaborated, and I love what you guys are doing. Thank you for coming on to my podcast and sharing your experiences. To me, I mean, I've spent pretty much most of this season talking about the ingredients and stuff that go into beer, and that's the craft. But for me, it's the culture is a little bit more important, and I appreciate you guys sharing your take on the culture of beer and the why it matters so much. But thank you for coming on to the Good Beer Matters podcast.
You're welcome. You made it a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, having fun.
And that's with only coffee, no beer. Imagine how much more fun it'll get next time.
Oh, man, yeah. All right, there's the next time.
All right. Yep. Cheers, you guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
You don't have to travel all that far to have a great experience with good beer. You don't even need an RV, although they are really fun. Sometimes a beer is just a beer. But by opening up to the craft and the culture, sometimes it is so much more. In the next episode, we continue with Beyond the Beer Stories by looking at the downside of beer and the upside of choice. Good Beer Matters is a show about great beer, great friends, and the experiences we create together. But it's also about better beer education so you can level up your game. So if you're a beer and food professional or even a beer enthusiast, then please subscribe to Good Beer Matters podcast and go to goodbeermatters.net for more resources and next steps. After that, grab a beer, hang out with friends, and let the world open up. Thank you for listening. Cheers.